Our lesson today is called Observe Their Fruits, and it's really saying how to identify a false teacher. In Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, it reads, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, in the Holy Scriptures, the word prophet refers to anyone who serves and teaches the will of God. And that's what they're supposed to do. Anyone who speaks for God. And we're told in 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. In other words, if we're going to have the courage to stand up and preach, we better preach what the Bible teaches and not any human opinion or anything added to it. So a false prophet is one that is self-serving and teaches a false doctrine for whatever motive they may have to do so. And there's different reasons people do these things. And we can see also that the term false teacher fits in the same category. And yes, there are some people claim that we cannot identify false teachers because we cannot read their hearts. And that's true. But we can hear what they're saying and make the determination from that. And so we'll examine 2 Peter 2, 1 and 3 later on and address this idea. See, false prophets. And as the metaphor used by Jesus indicates, such false prophets disguise themselves to appear as harmless sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And that's how they are. I mean, how else would they get into the flock if they didn't look like another one? And so we see that. And this guise is necessary in order to lure their audience into a state of trustworthiness. And that's how these false teachers operate. They get there saying, yeah, you're my buddy, you're my friend, and you need to listen to me. And all the while, taking them in the wrong direction. And we'll also notice that the servants of Satan also disguise themselves to cause destruction to the church. And it's always been that way. Satan has tried to destroy the church in any way that he can. And of course, he will use people to accomplish this. And a lot of times, yes, we are to be trusting and we're to be open to have new members, but we've also got to pay attention. Because if they start teaching things contrary to the doctrine of Christ, that has to be dealt with. So if the true motive and identity of false prophets were revealed, potential hearers would flee from their presence. Yeah, I mean, they do not enter with an identifier on their back like some law enforcement agency, you know, FBI, ATF, false teacher. I mean, they don't do that. They don't wear a neon sign on their chest saying, hey, I'm a false teacher. Now, you need to listen to me. No. They do that. They come in by stealth. They portray, hey, I'm just one of your loving brethren. And that's how they approach it. And so our text tells us that we will know them by their fruit. Yeah, some of us might know that what they're saying is wrong, but you look at the result of what they're teaching, and that's what we'll know. Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven that is the influence of the Jewish spiritual leaders. In Matthew 6:16, says, beware of the leaven. And at first the disciples said, well, he's just talking about bread. What's this got to do with it? And Jesus said their influence, their teaching is not good. And we need to beware of that. Jesus also told them to beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. Mark 12, 38 through 40. And so these words of Jesus distinctly identify these spiritual leaders as ravening wolves that are disguised in sheep's clothing. You remember in Acts chapter 20 when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, he said, when he was talking to the elders, he said, from your own midst, you will be devouring one another. And so, yes, we find that happens in the church. How do these people get into the church? They come in acting like, well, I'm a servant of God. I'm a servant of righteousness. And then they tear the church apart. And these people will be lost. No question about it. And the Old Testament is filled with lying, deceitful, false prophets that led the children of Israel astray. In fact, anytime the children of Israel didn't want to hear the message of God, they found someone who was willing to give them what they want. Just like we read there in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. And so they were doing that. And the false prophets were saying, peace, peace. And in Jeremiah, we read on five occasions, God says there is no peace. It's not going to happen this way. These people are not following my command. And so this stern warning is carried over into the New Testament with just as much godly concern for Christian children of God today. God was concerned for his people. And so he warned them, don't listen to these false prophets. They're not telling you the truth. Pay attention to the true prophets of God. And what do they do, the two true prophets of God? They killed most of them. See, Jesus gives us this warning by teaching us, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24, 4 and 5. There's a lot of people saying, well, they may not say, I am Jesus Christ. A few crazy people do that. But there's a lot of people come in and say, well, I'm a servant of Christ. And some people listen to them. We got to take heed. Don't let that happen. You got to compare their words with what the Bible actually teaches. He also instructs us that many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24, 11. Yes, we see that today in all these denominations. Every one of these people out there, a lot of them say that they're modern day prophets. And they claim to be prophets of God. And what are they teaching? Things that are contrary to the Word of God. I mean, God is not the author of confusion, so they're not speaking for God. And God knows that. See, Christ leaves little doubt that false prophets will arise and with deceitful false signs and wonders. They shall deceive even the elect of God. And the elect are those who are Christians. Yeah, we can be taken in by all this fancy talk, but we have to be very careful that we don't do that. Our best defense against false teachers is a knowledge of God's will. That is the absolute best defense against false teachers, because false teachers have a place available to them when the people don't know what's going on, when they don't know their Bibles, and so they're led that way. Remember what God said to the prophet Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And for some reason, we can acknowledge this because we've seen it over the years. And I've seen over the years. When I was a young man, I told someone I went to the Church of Christ, and they said, well, I'm very impressed with that because you people really know your Bible. How long has it been since you heard someone describe, and when you say you go to the Church of Christ, when was the last time you heard that? Someone acknowledged, you people know your Bible. It's probably been 40 or 50 years, hasn't it, Jack? At least. And so, I mean, people don't know anything about that. And most Christians, they're very, when it comes to the Bible, many of them are very illiterate. They don't know what's in there. You can start talking about Bible characters and they'll just give you that dumb stare. I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, we can see that. See, Peter says that false prophets and teachers would come into the midst of the body of Christ. And they deny Jesus as the Savior. They bring destruction upon them and induce them to follow their false ways. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. And this is Peter in 2 Peter 2. He talks about these people. And so he says, watch out for these false teachers. And of course, some, like I said, some people claim that, well, you don't know someone's heart. You don't know if they're teaching falsehood or not. Excuse me. It's what comes out of their mouth that is false. They are a teacher of error. They are, in essence, a false teacher because they're not teaching the truth. And some of them might teach some truth, but they won't teach all truth. You know, Paul's told the Ephesian elders, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. When we preach and teach, we need to teach it all. The parts that everybody seems to like and the parts that make them uncomfortable. And that's the job. That's our job to do that. So they will sell you on their false doctrine and persuade you to buy into it. And that's what 2 Peter 2, 1 and 3 is all about. They're getting you to deny Jesus Christ. How many of these groups out there that, quote, are Christian, they've denied that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. More and more of them all the time are denying that fact. And a lot of them are denying the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. I don't believe that. It's just a made-up story. And so they're basing their whole religious life upon a myth that they acknowledge as a myth. Now, how much sense does that make? Doesn't make any sense at all. So the Apostle John, in following the advice of Jesus in the lesson, tells us, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And Jesus said false prophets would come. Jesus said many false prophets would come. Now, here it is, several years later, John is acknowledging many false prophets have gone out into the world. And they're teaching things that are not according to God's word, not according to the gospel of Christ. And that was taking place shortly after the gospel began. You know, the Galatian letter is one of the earliest epistles that Paul wrote around 51 AD, and he had to mention about some who had perverted the text and was teaching different things. And this was warned about. Jesus warned it would happen. And they were doing it even then. And they haven't stopped in nearly 2,000 years. They're still teaching false doctrine. See, Jesus tells us we are to test the doctrine of the false prophets. In other words, put it to the test. And how do we test it? Well, we take the Bible and compare it. That's how we're supposed to test it. We're supposed to test it with God's word. We don't test it by, well, how fancy of talker they are, or how sweet their words are, and how lovey-dovey their words are, if they're sugar-coated or whatever. I mean, that's not the test that we put. What does God say? That's the ultimate answer and the proof that we need. See, one way is by observing the fruits of those that profess to teach God's will. And we see this all the time. They do their teaching, but apparently the members aren't paying attention because once they leave their church building, they're no different than anybody else in this world. Their life hasn't changed. And so that happens. And sadly, there's people in the Church of Christ who don't teach the whole truth of God's word. And they allow their members to go along and act like the world, and yet they don't bring it to their attention. I mean, God's going to deal with these people. And then, of course, probably the best way, another way to be so familiar with Scripture that we can identify any teaching as sound or false. You know, that's what the Hebrew writer said. We should be able to be mature enough to take the strong meat so that we can discern between good and evil. And how does it come about? By reason of use. In other words, we study. We study to show ourselves approved to God. And the true test of a teacher of God's word is to observe the fruit that he bears. And so, yes, that's not only looking at what he teaches and the impact it has on people's lives, but it's also how does he behave in his own life? I mean, that's also an important factor. And so there's a number of ways that this can be done, and it's very simple. And you can say, okay, apply this to your preacher, or apply this to any member of the church. And so by doing so, we test the character of the teacher. All right. Does his life exemplify a godly person? I mean, you ask yourself, does his life exemplify a godly person? And are his actions worth emulating? Is he setting a good example? That's what it means. Is he setting a good example to follow? Is it worth following his example? We should also test his message. Does his message ring true? Can each tenet of his doctrine be supported by God's holy word? I mean, you got to look at that. Can he support everything by the word of God? And does he add to or delete from the inspired scriptures? I mean, that's what we have to look at. Is his message centered on false personal revelation from God? I mean, have I ever said, well, God spoke to me last night and told me this is the direction we need to take? No, you've never heard me say that. But I guarantee you, in a lot of these denominations that are meeting today, someone, some preacher, or some leader is going to sit up there and say, well, God spoke to me and told me this. And that message will not be in accordance with God's word or his will. It'll be something different. And finally, we should test the conduct of his followers. I mean, and that's really important. How does the rest of the people behave? I mean, when a person goes looking for a congregation to worship with, that's one of the criteria that they use. They look around. Are these people excited to be here? Or are these people just kind of moping around, just hoping the preacher gets through with his message a lot quicker? I mean, that's they kind of look for that. And body language does tell a great story. And so we should be aware of how we behave, especially when we have visitors, to greeting them and talking to them and encouraging them. Do those that support his teaching live godly, Christ-like lives? That's our goal. Whether it's happening or not, I really don't know. But that's something you'll have to answer for yourself if that's the case. And so these are the fruits by which the tree can be identified. And see, a thorn tree does not bear grapes, nor does a thistle bush bear figs. And people knew that. God commanded and set in order the natural world during creation, seed bearing seed after its own kind. Of the plants, he said that each shall bear after its kind. A false teacher of God's word cannot bear obedient Christians. You cannot teach error and be obedient Christians. It just cannot happen. And from outward appearance, it is often difficult to identify a false teacher. You know, the example given by Jesus comparing such a one to a tree proves this point. See, observing the leaves of a tree or its shape, size, its bark, or blossoms is sometimes misleading, unless one is an expert in that field. But the fruit it bears cannot hide the false identity. You take a peach tree and an almond tree. You're not going to know any difference between them unless you're really an expert until it starts bearing its fruit. And there's other trees like that, other plants like that. You really don't know what it is until it starts bearing fruit. Remember, we had the lesson of the parable of the tares not too long ago. They both had to grow up, and then finally, when the fruit was started being born, they said, wait a minute, we got some bad stuff in here. I mean, sometimes it takes that. See, the fruit of a tree, without exception, reveals what kind of tree it is. Nobody ever picked an orange off a tree and said, do you see what this apple tree just gave me? Nobody ever does that. I mean, that's the way the natural world order works. That's the way nature works. If I pull an orange off a tree, I can pretty much tell you and be pretty much 99.99999, no, let's just say it, 100%, that is an orange tree. It's not a pear tree, it's not an apple tree, it's not a cherry tree. That is an orange tree. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now he's making the analogy here. Yeah, sometimes things happen to the fruit, and they get invaded by insects, and yeah, the fruit might go bad while it's still on the tree, but that's not what he's talking about here. He says, if you have an orange tree, it's going to produce an orange. It's not going to produce a watermelon. I mean, that's what he's trying to tell us. And if the source is evil, it cannot produce something that is good. And if the source is good, it should not produce anything that is evil. That's what Jesus was talking about. This is the law of nature. And by its metaphoric application, we have this law from God through his son, Jesus Christ. A false prophet brings forth a false doctrine that will deceive all that fail to examine its fruits. See, the just reward of a false teacher is the same as that of a corrupt tree. Both be cast into the fire, hewn down and cast in the fire, thus purifying the orchard. And so those that do not examine the teaching and verify its scriptural accuracy will be joining the false teacher in hell. Now, that may be harsh to hear, but who can deny it? You listen to false doctrine, you believe false doctrine, is that going to get you to heaven? No, it's not going to get you to heaven. See, eternal torment will be the lot of false prophets that corrupt God's will. And eternal salvation is reserved for true ministers of God that bear righteous fruit. It is reserved to all that first examine and then obey God's will. And that's where it leads us. So do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, that is what we will reap. And if we sow falsehood, we're going to reap falsehood. And that's not going to help people get to heaven. We practice and preach the truth. That will guide people in the right direction. So very simple lesson, but we know from the fruits. We have to observe them and know what false teachers are. Okay, that's going to be our lesson. We're going to sing the invitation song now. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.